not sure if I am pronouncing your name correctly. So Konstantin will be a student assistant, and I will explain a little bit later as to how we think to do that. But first I will give the opportunity to Konstantin to say some words to you, present yourself, who you are, what you have done before, what you are doing now.
So I am the second year master student here at HIC. I've taken these courses with Jose Gonzalez last year, and I'm interested in information security economics, management, and also in system dynamics as a key discipline in these courses. So I'm also writing my master thesis in connection to system dynamics, so I will be glad to help you with your path through these courses.
Okay, thank you very much. So Konstantin will be coming in the afternoons for a little while here, so as to assist when you are doing exercises in class. But then his main activity will be online, and I have, I think it would be wonderful if we can achieve a team spirit across all the students that are participating here, those who are able to come to the lecture, and those who are following this as distance students. And to that, we have Frontier, and we have this section here of questions and answers, which I would like you to participate. This is a forum. Using that, you can add issues, comment things, ask questions or whatever. And the reason why I like this forum is because it is a forum for everybody, a forum where you students can participate and share ideas, inspire each other, motivate each other. And Konstantin will be following that regularly. And to some extent, if you want, you find something where you think I should be involved, you can alert me so I can follow with that. And our responsibility will be mostly to guide you, to inspire you, rather than giving full answers, because then if you get a full answer, then you are at the end, so to speak. But guiding you, we help you to think and solve problems and so on. So now I will continue a little bit with the lecture, and then we take some exercises. So we were speaking about the control, out of control archetypes. And here is another archetype that happens very often. It's called shifting the burden, treating some symptom instead of the root of the cause. And in this way, you are making the problem worse. For instance, if people are stressed, there is a kind of a solution, and that is you just have a drink. This reduces your stress. The problem is sooner or later, you get addicted to alcohol, which makes it more difficult to relax and increases your stress. So you have, in this way, by shifting the burden, created another problem, and one that is even more difficult to handle than the previous one. So instead of addressing the symptoms, you have to address the core. Okay, then to proceed with relative achievement, yes? Yes. Yes, but that's not the solution. That is the unintended effect. The solution is the link here, and that is to make sure that you increase the capacity. You see a minus polarity, meaning as crime increases, You should reduce the overcrowding of court in prisons. That means, say it in a more positive way, increase the capacity of the court to deal with such cases, and to the extent that's necessary, to increase the capacity of the prisons. So one way of understanding this is to walk in through the archetype. We will do that more in connection with the exercises. So suppose you increase police recruitment, this will reduce crime, which will affect the police recruitment, so until you have some goal. The unintended consequence is that because of increasing the number of police, you are actually reducing the capacity of the existing courts to deal with the crime, and you are filling the prison so that you don't have more space for the people who are caught by the police. So then you need to increase the capacity of the court and of the prisons. And this you do by this link, which has negative polarity. As crime increases, you reduce the overcrowding, which means you increase the capacity. Okay. In the relative achievement, you have as intended outcome a reinforcing loop, and that because of increasing the outcome, and here we distinguish, say, between two parties, A and B, increasing the outcome of A, you are affecting in a reinforcing loop, but in the opposite direction, reducing the outcome for some parts and department B. So you have, you are increasing some action, you are increasing some outcome, applying some action, but at the same time, you are generating a process that is working against some other part. You are paying a price for that. So as it says below, the intended loop is reinforcing and does achieve an improvement for A, which is a department or a party or organization. The unintended loop magnifies the relative outcome for A, but it does so at the expense of another sector, B, so that the net result is a zero-sum game. You gain on the one hand, you lose on the other. The solution loop introduces a regulatory action and a balancing feedback loop by which you control a more equitable transition. Okay, so here you have some examples. Again, the completely generic there. The same generic example is successful. For instance, a society has been working in the past here in Norway, and perhaps still to some extent is doing, and in many countries still is doing. So the fact that we have systems that prefer males, there was a case now recently as to Telenor, and who became the boss of Telenor. It was typically a male and so on. So if you give favorable condition for the males, they of course get success, but at the same time, you are reducing those opportunities for women. And we know that the solutions to this needs to include some regulatory action so as to help the situation for women. So you have, that's basically a balancing loop that reduces the preference for males, or a balancing loop that introduces a goal to increase female success. In relative control, you have two balancing loops opposing each other. So A's action to control some relative outcome, but this can set off a balancing loop compromising the outcome for A. The solution is defining an absolute target to achieve. Let's have a look. Completely generic, same as generic. And there you have some examples. Very famous is the arms race, which you see here. So consider two parties, A and B. A wants to achieve some security, and to do this, it produces more arms or better arms. But the security of A feels threatening for B, and B does the same. So both A and B are trying to achieve some superiority, and the consequence of that is actually that the two balancing loops act together as a reinforcing loop, because this A increases the security of A, that leads to B's arm production, which reduces A's superiority, which leads to increasing A's production, which leads to more B production, and so on. And that's the way it has worked in history in the past. Or you could consider this as the arms race between defenders and attackers in information security. You improve your security, then the target for the hackers is to improve their attacks, which forces you to improve your security, and so on. And in terms of arms and weapons, you could finally negotiate with the opponent and agree on some tops for armament with controls, and that stopped the arms race. And then you can reverse in the opposite. You can go down. One go down if you generate trust. Below you see another example, which is also very famous. Here you see an example to quality. Basically, the idea is you have two ways of achieve some quality target. One is putting a target, high target, and trying to come thus far. The other is simply be satisfied with a lower target. And an example that most of us know very well is about weight control. When you are young, you are thin. And then you get older, and you do less exercise, and you have more money, and eat more, so your weight increases. The fundamental solution is going back to the original ideal weight. But another way of dealing, which is called eroding goals, is simply defined as your new ideal weight, a higher weight. So instead of weighing 60 kilograms, your ideal weight is now 65, the problem is solved. But then you put on more weight, you weigh 70, instead of going down to 65, you erode the goal, 70 is the ideal weight, and so. And the only way of dealing with that problem is actually to fix the goal. You have to have an absolute target. Otherwise, this combination of loop acts like an arms race, and you are increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. Okay, so finally, I want to do some exercises with you. So the last couple of slides. The boundaries very often hide or mask the unintended effects. Very often because things happen in different parts of the organization. That makes it difficult to see the unintended consequence. But even in cases where the consequence happens in the same sector of the organization, if there are long time delays, then it's difficult to see the connection with what you did long time ago and what is happening now. Then there are, according to Wostenholm, many mechanisms that can hide the unintended consequence. And he has given these names: totally blind, they don't see anything; partially sighted, they see it, but only part of the problem; seeing, by choosing not to see. That's how convenient. Sometimes it's you pretend not to see the things, that kind of solves the problem as well. Or you see that, but you are afraid to act. Sometimes you see, but don't believe it. Sometimes you see, but it is taking risks to act, so you prefer not to take risks. Seeing, but you think that's happening much later, so that's the problem of somebody else. As the French say, après nous le déluge, which means after us the deluge. Deluge is the big, big flood. So, or you see that to ignore for political reasons, or you see but ignore that because no one will challenge the side effect. See that too late. And the only way of dealing with these problems is to learn about systems, to see and acting systematically. Okay. So here is just a conclusion and summing up. So archetypes, they are common in very many delays, in very many domains. They are very useful. You have seen examples of the same archetype in different areas, quality control, arms race. We have, for example, two examples in the same, of the same archetype in different areas. And before, for each type of archetype, there were several examples. And they are therefore very powerful because they have the same structure in different domains. They help you conceptualize problems and loan or borrow insights from other cases that you know. They help you also later, as we will see, to begin creating a system dynamic model for simulation, but you can use them also for insight and communication. But then we know that boundaries are obstacles to seeing. I will later tell you how to deal with these boundaries in practice. And here are the two articles that you have in the frontal room. And now I want to do a hands-on exercise with you. So if you open VenSim, here we have a case. The case is that in many organizations, security is not a high priority. They think most of what is their mission. So every company, every organization has some mission. So Statoil's mission will be to maximize profit from the oil and gas, from oil and gas. Microsoft concentrates on software and wants to get great profit from that. And in practice, and I am quoting the book that I mentioned this morning from Calder and Watkins, Governance, IT Governance, A Manager's Guide to Data Security. To many directors and managers, information security tends to mean something they don't understand and that the IT manager has to deal with. So if the top management don't understand the issue and a manager at a lower level has to deal with it, that leads to trouble. So what is the problem is that management focus is on maximizing throughput while security issues are in the attention shade, hidden from senior management by organizational or mental boundaries or simply because they are not aware or not interested. So we need to develop a problem archetype and pay attention the way it's worded, how the intended action, profit, leads to unintended consequences through a low security level. And here I see an error. It should be the intended outcome. So let's correct it immediately. I will oppose it there. It is the intended outcome. That's what they want to achieve. So let's create that. I can show you first the archetype here, explain it, and then we make it together. So what the company does all the time is to put resources to produce throughput. Let's call it investment. So Statoil is paying the staff and using and investing in whatever machines or whatever so as to achieve throughput. Throughput is just a term for what the company produces. So in the case of Statoil, the throughput ultimately is money coming from oil and gas sales. And owing to the throughput, there will be resources to invest. So the whole thing is feedback, is on feedback. And similarly for all the companies, you put resources as to generate something that allow you to put more resources and so on. And the focus is that is in growth. The unintended consequence of this thinking is that very often security is neglected. So with some time delay, because security is not getting enough attention, it's not getting enough resources, security is decaying. Security is in the shade, attention shade. And because the security decreases, less security will sooner or later lead to less throughput. Because less security means timeouts. There will be incidents that stopped the process, and then the throughput of the company starts suffering. And there is an organizational boundary here, because the top management that decides on how to apply the resources or how to invest is allocating too little for security. Solution loop, now we are making this, is investing not only in resources for throughput, but also on security. And if you do that, that improves the security, which improves the throughput and so on. And you have a reinforcing loop, which I call security for growth saves. Invest on more security resources, which improves the security. And because of that, you have less incidents. So that helps maintaining the throughput and then makes more of the investment. Okay? Questions to that? Do you think you manage now with Vensim to create this yourself? Okay, so try to do that, and then Konstantin and I help you. So the moment you have some doubt or whatever, you ask. And I will also explain it to the whole class, not only those who are present. What is important is that you do this in the sequence. Think first, what is the action? Remember, the structure of the archetype is action. So you have to find out what is the action. And then, what is the outcome? And then you get this loop, which is the intended consequence loop. So, number one, number two, number three. Number four. That's the order in which you do the things. So start first with this. What is the action? What is the outcome? Make the loop. Write the feedback. That's always the first. Action, outcome. Create the arrows, create the feedback. And when you have settled this, then you take the next step, the unintended consequence loop. And then finally the solution. But this is the first one. And when you get a case, you have to read through the case. And here I am telling you already part of it. Only that the term maximize profit would be seen, should be maximize throughput. Throughput is what the organization is delivering, and that leads to, in the end, to profit the money. Actually, I could be consistent here. I use throughput there, so I can use here again rather than introducing the word profit. I can put maximize throughput, then it's fully consistent. So profit is what you make through your throughput. So the idea is now for the part-time students, you should use InventSim to create the archetype. And in principle, you have the solution here. But rather than looking at the slide, you should try to do it by yourself and then compare with this slide. How is it going? Is it working, what you are doing, Henrik and Tonya? No problems? Okay. But as I said, ask questions at any time, then we help you. Have you finished, Henry? Yes, that's a good question. When she finishes, then I will show you. No, I will tell you yes in half a minute. As soon as Tolye finishes, then I will call attention to everybody and tell it. There's a question from the audience as to how to draw the boundary. I want to show you something first. Let's go to Venzim. So here you have the problem archetype. First of all, when you write a report for the examination, then you would like to have pictures. And the way to create a picture, say in Word, will be like this. Let's open Word, new document. Picture I put here, just to signify where it is. Then you can do that either when the diagram is locked, that means you cannot make any changes when this is locked. You can click on something, but you cannot change it. Or when the hand is there, then you can change things, you can move things around. So what you do is kind of drawing around a rectangle. You click and draw, and click and drag, and when you release, then you have selected the whole diagram that you want to copy. Then you make edit copy, or just Control C. Then you go to Word. And then you do paste. Control V is in my case. And then you have put this diagram there. And then you can reduce it and so on. You know how to do that. But in principle, you have the diagram there. Now, as to how to make the boundary. You could now draw the boundary using the drawing tools of Word or PowerPoint, but there is a trick that you can use in Venzim as well. Let's go back to Venzim. I'm going to select everything, edit, select all, move it. No, actually, I need a hand. Edit, select all, move it somewhere here. A way of creating a boundary is putting a fake variable here. You call it boundary. And perhaps use a different font or whatever, or even you can here make it a bigger name and put it in italic, for instance, like this, so that it is different. And then you can put another fake variable here, long away, call it X. Then you can make an arrow from here to here. I missed, so I have to do it once more. Now I have it. And then you can select this, copy, I make Control C. Go to Word, take this away, put this one. Then you have it. And so I am cheating in a sense because I was putting kind of a variable name. But since the model is not to be simulated, just qualitative, you can do it like this. like this. Let me know when you finish with the archetype. You finish now? Okay. So you should have got something like this, which is similar to what you see in the diagram. Then we will have a break in about 5 minutes. Do you want to stay for more time? Perhaps we don't need a whole hour, but just some couple of exercises. Is that okay? Then I am not going to record the next one. Rather, I will announce what to do. And then the further supervision and so on will occur via the forum questions and answers in front of, for those of you who are not attending today. So what I want you to do in the next hour is to start with the exercises, which I am going to open now, and they are in front. Exercises to model insecurity with system archetypes. So I want to introduce this using the last minutes of this hour. The content of this document is first describing how to design the archetypes. You should read this and pay attention to that, since that is the clue for doing it well. And then there are a number of exercises. They are not necessarily the best order for dealing with them. I will suggest that you concentrate first on number 3 and 4. That is the easiest one. And then we will propose another one that is not here and that I will put in later and publish. Then we will care to guide them to how to do that, but the important thing is this procedure. always number one, when you read the case and the description of the problem, ask yourself, what is the intended outcome and what is the action to provoke or to achieve the intended outcome? So that's always the first thing. You have to read carefully the information and find the intended outcome and the action to achieve the intended outcome. Then you can create a loop, but you should be able to justify that. You should be able to explain the causal relationships, how the action leads to the outcome, and how the outcome affects the action back. Then it's important that in the arrows you put the polarities, plus or minus. Then you should give a good name to the loop and assign the polarity to the loop, which should be reinforcing or balancing loop. Then the next step is, what is the system reaction and which element in the intended consequence loop generates the system reaction? Then you are on to drawing the next feedback loop of the unintended consequence, but also being able to explain the relation from cause to effect, these arrows, and give them the polarity plus or minus, and to give a good name to the loop and say whether it is reinforcing or balancing. As the next step, what kind of problem archetype is it? You can read it, you can find it by comparing with the lecture and the four types that are under achievement, out of control, relative achievement, relative control. But also in the solution loop, you have to be able to justify the arrows that you're drawing, put the right polarities, give a good name, and say if the loop is reinforcing or balancing. And then when you find the solutions, you should be able to read from that. Each case is documented like this, and so on. And you have to read it carefully to find the different things. But now the recording will stop. And again, in the next hour, there will be no recording. I assume the students are working with the exercises, and the supervision will occur for those who are still in the class by us, by me and Konstantin, and for those who are outside via the forum or other electronic means. So thank you.